Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to read just a couple of verses there to begin with. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And Enoch," what's those next three words? Can you read them with me? "Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." And then verse 24, "And Enoch," what? "Walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Look at chapter 6 and verse 9. Chapter 6 and verse 9. "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Walked with God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for giving us your word. Spirit of God, we believe that you were vital in inspiring your word and giving it to holy men, godly men, but we believe this is your words. It's God's words inspired and preserved for us, and we thank you for giving us a book that tells us so much of your love and tells us of your desire for our lives. And Father, help us to do what you desire. Help us to live for the purpose for which we were created. Help us to glorify you in our lives and do what you made us to do. Father, help us not to just waste our life with other things, but to fulfill the purpose and fulfill and do your will in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you very simply tonight about how to walk with God. How to walk with God. Just again in this theme that we've been studying of learning how to walk. And we began in January, first Sunday of January, studying things to do with this theme, and we'll carry on probably a couple more months and study things, go different directions in the Bible, but all to do with walking. And I want to talk to you about this walking with God. The reason why God made us was to fellowship with Him, no doubt about it. What the human race is really all about is that God wanted a people that were an intelligent people. You know, we're not as intelligent as God, but He created us with intelligence. He created us with a will. He created us, and His desire was that we would desire Him and choose Him. And with a conscious choice, we would choose Him. He made us different than the angels. He made us different than the animals. He made us with a mind and where we can, from a heart, we can respond to Him and to His love. And God desires that we would fellowship with Him. God wants us to be a people that with our will, we will choose to fellowship with Him. If a person never fellowships with his Creator, then he misses the entire purpose of life completely. Do you know why God gave His Son to die on the cross for us? To take us to heaven, right? Well, sure, He wants to take us to heaven and He wants us to have eternal life. But you know why, really? He wanted us to be brought back into fellowship with Him. He wanted fellowship restored. Hey, God was able to walk with Adam in the cool of the Garden of Eden and fellowship with Him there. But fellowship with God was broken by man's sin. And truthfully, the bringing us back to the God and so on, it's about that relationship that He desires to have with us. God gave His Son to die for us because He loves us. God gave His Son to die for us because He wanted us for His Son. The purpose of all of redemption is first and foremost to provide a way for God to get us back to Himself. God wants us and God loves us and God wants us to walk with Him and to fellowship with Him and to love Him. Even beyond, I think, God's desire to, well, let us live forever in a place where there's golden streets and, you know, big pearly gates and it's going to be an awesome place. It's God's desire that we would fellowship with Him. God's desire that we could have a relationship with Him just as He created us to. It's said of these two men in the Bible that they walked with God. Both of them are men who lived before the flood. And we read in Genesis 5, Enoch walked with God. In chapter 6, Noah walked with God. You know, Paul said in the New Testament, Philippians 3 and verse 10, he said, "That I may know Him." That I may know Him. Paul was already saved when he wrote that. So he knew the Lord in the sense that we say that. He knew the Lord. He was a saved man. But he said, "Oh, that I may know Him." that I may know Him. His longing was to know Him better. His longing was to fellowship with Him. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. If Paul had a desire to know Him, that means we can know God in a better way, in a closer way, in an intimate way. You know what? No matter what we do to work in the church or work for God, we got to go to the nursing home today, and that was fun. And Brother Joel's been doing a good job giving little sermonettes and preaching at the nursing home to the seniors. And that's been fun. But you know what? It doesn't matter what work we do for God or sing in a choir or be an usher or do something like that. None of those things replace the fact that God wants us to fellowship with Him. You know, standing and singing or serving or teaching a Sunday school class, that doesn't replace us fellowshipping with God and us walking with God. He created us for that intimacy and that closeness and that relationship with Him. We can sing in church again, but that doesn't take the place of us walking with God. God did not redeem us just specifically to, you know, do some church work or to sing. First and foremost is that God wants you and me to walk with Him. You know, young people are supposed to walk with God. And old people are supposed to walk with God. And new Christians need to learn to walk with God. And old Christians still need to walk with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. I want you to notice some things tonight about this walk. The beginning of the walk. The Bible says Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Who was Methuselah? He was the son of Enoch. Methuselah, who lived longer than anyone in the Bible. Do you know how old Methuselah lived to? Anybody know? How old? 969 years. That's a pretty old guy. And he lived a long life. You see somebody who's 100 years old, you get excited about that. 969 years this guy lived. A long life, longer than anyone that we know of recorded in history. He was the son of Enoch. God came in the home of Enoch and God placed there a little boy in His arms. And God named that little boy Methuselah, Thuzi Man, or whatever they may be called them. Little Methuselah. The word Methuselah means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. That's the meaning of the name. What does that mean? God was not going to send the flood until Methuselah had died. God wasn't going to send the flood until Methuselah had died. When he is dead, it shall be sent. You know what? God held off the flood for a little boy. Certainly a young man, for sure, right? 969 years. But God held off the flood because of Methuselah. No doubt in Enoch's life, he looked at the little boy that God placed in his arms. He looked at the little boy that God placed into his family and into his home. And Enoch probably thought, it's probably time I walked with God. And what I've heard before other people give me that kind of a testimony. Where they became a parent for the first time. And now they have a little child or a little son or a little daughter in their home. And they then think, you know what? It's probably time I be faithful to the Lord. It's probably pretty important now that I you know, read my Bible and that I go to church and so on. Why? Because they got a little boy. They got a little girl. They got a child that they know they need to train up to live for God. And how are they going to train them to live for God if they don't know God much? You know what? Walking with God is important. Especially when we have children too. We think of, oh, we need to influence them. And oh, we need to train them. And no doubt Enoch probably thought about that as well. I have a responsibility. I have a baby. I have a son. And he's going to look at me. And he's going to try to emulate me or copy me. Enoch looked at little Methuselah and said, you know what, he's going to walk in my footsteps. He's going to be trying on my sandals one day when he grows up and he's a little toddler around going around the tents and so on. He's going to be trying on my sandal and trying to walk around the house like Daddy. Hey, he's going to be watching me and he's going to want to do the things that Daddy does. Probably thought, you know what, my habits could be his habits. What I am, he'll likely be. What I say, he'll probably say. The kind of life I live is probably the kind of life that my boy is going to live. And I think I'd better walk with God. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. After he begat Methuselah. You know what? A little boy maybe was what helped him to realize, I better walk with God. I better know God. I better spend time with God. Hey, maybe you and I better walk with God if God has given us some children. We better walk with God if He's made us a mom or a dad. Little leopards have stripes because mama and papa leopards have stripes. Little baby zebras, I think, probably have stripes. Why? Because mommy and daddy zebra have stripes. That's the way it is. Listen, your little leopards and your little zebras and your little children, they're going to be like you. Not only is it amazing how they look like us, but you know what? They're going to emulate us. They're going to copy us. They're going to be like us. I've seen some pictures of Sarah now as a baby. And Grace and Sarah look so much alike, don't they? Have you ever seen those pictures? But you know what? More than how, you know, some of our babies and so on, they look like us. And they're going to be trying to copy us. It just happens. They look up to us and they're going to try to copy us in our lives. We better walk with God. Every little crow is black because, you know, the mama crow is black. What you sing, your kids will probably sing. If you curse and swear, your kids will probably curse and swear. If you drink, your kids will probably drink. If you smoke, your kids will probably smoke. If you don't go to church, your kids are likely not to go to church. If you live for God, your kids are more likely to live for God. If you read your Bible, your children are more likely to read their Bibles. If you walk with God, your children are more likely to walk with God. Enoch realizes, I think, you know what? I've got a gift from God now. I've got this little baby. I've got a boy, Methuselah. I'm going to walk with God. If you're a mom or a dad, walk with God. That's one of the important reasons. And we said it this morning. We need to walk with God. We need to get into the Word of God and get the bread because we're going to have children. We're going to have children. Somebody's looking at you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's going to hear you. What's going to happen when our children grow up? They're going to be so much like us. Little eyes are watching you. Little ears are listening to you. Little eyes are watching what you do. Little feet will follow in your feet. You know what? My kids do so many things like Daddy. You know what? If my kids see me, if they were to see me picking up a plate or a bowl and licking off that plate or licking up that bowl, you know, it's good ice cream or something. You know what they're going to want to do? Pick up their bowls and lick out their bowls. They copy us, don't they? They could copy good things that we do. They can copy bad things that we do. But it's in them that they want to be like mommy. They want to be like daddy. And they're going to copy us. Hey, since that's true, we better walk with God. Enoch said, I'm going to walk with God, and you and I better decide to walk with God as well. Notice this, secondly, the walk itself. What does it mean to walk with God? How can a person walk with God? In the first place, you've got to go forward to walk, right? If you're going to walk somewhere, you're going somewhere. You're walking forward. Walk doesn't imply standing still. Walk doesn't imply really going backwards. We don't think that. We think of walking. We think, I'm going forward. I'm walking. I'm going somewhere. I'm headed for a destination. It didn't say Enoch took his stand with God. It says Enoch walked with God. It doesn't say Enoch stood with God. It says Enoch walked with God. He was going somewhere. Walking implies growing. If we're not growing in grace, then we're not walking with God. If we're not a better Christian today than we were last year, then we're not walking with God and growing and going forward like we need to. If we're not going forward, we're not walking with God. We sing a song, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Well, you don't get your feet planted on higher ground unless you're walking towards that destination. Unless your steps are taking you forward and you're growing. It says, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table in a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. God's people need to go forward. We need to go forward. And how do we go forward? How do we grow in our Christian life? Walk with God. Walking will help you to go forward. Walking with God will help you to grow in your Christian life. In so many areas, we should want to grow. We ought to want to give more to God this year than we did last year. We ought to want to win more people to Christ this year than we did last year. We ought to want to serve God this year more than we did last year. We ought to do more for others this year than we did last year. We ought to be more sold out for God this year than we were last year. We should want God to have more of us this year than He did last year. But we ought to keep on going, keep on growing, keep on going higher, keep on going forward. You can't walk with God unless you're walking and moving forward. In the time that you spend with God, in your relationship with God, and in your time that you spend in the Bible or spending time in prayer, you ought to desire, well, I want to do more this year than I did last year. I want to grow closer to the Lord this year than I was last year. Are you any less a Christian today than maybe you were on your best day? Are you any less of a Christian today than maybe you were in a better day or a better hour in your life? God doesn't want us sliding backwards. He wants us going forward. You could be the best Christian in this room tonight, but if you're less of a Christian than you used to be, or your walk with God is less than it used to be, you're going backwards. You're not going forward. You're not growing and becoming all that God wants. God wants you growing and going forward and walking forward and getting closer to the Lord this year than you were before. God wants you doing more for Him this year than you were last year. We need to be growing. We need to be walking, going forward. We're not walking with God unless we're growing in grace. We need to go forward to grow and walk with God and become what He wants us to become. Number three, in order to walk with God, we ought to include Him in everything. In order to walk with God, we ought to include Him in everything. The word walk in the Bible comes from a Greek word that means to tread the whole round, to tread, to walk upon. You're treading that path over and over and over again, to tread the whole round. To walk with God means to tread the whole round with God, to tread the whole round. Every bit of our life ought to be given to God. Everything, you know, everything inside the circle ought to be given to God. It ought to be God's included in everything. The entire circle of your life ought to belong to God. If you're going to walk with God, then include God in everything that you do. Have no secrets between you and God. Keep nothing from God. Invite God into your life. Let God into your personal life. Let God into your play. Let God into your school. Let God into your living room. Let God into your dining room or your kitchen or your bedroom, your home, your school place, your workplace, everything. Let God into it. He ought to be included in every bit of your life. Some people say, okay, Lord, You could come into my kitchen. God, You'll like my kitchen. On my kitchen, I got some nice poems, and I got some Bible verse up on my fridge. And you know, in my kitchen, I pray at mealtime. God, I think You'd feel pretty comfortable in my kitchen. But God, sorry, I really don't want You in my living room. God, I'd rather You not be there with us watching TV tonight, because you might not like some of the things we're going to watch. God, You can come into my kitchen, but God, don't come into my computer room or my living room or whatever. In the book of Ezekiel, God took the prophet to a hole in the wall down in the house of God, and He said, drill a hole in the wall and look through. The leaders of Israel, the Sanhedrin, the priests, have all kinds of filthy things down in the chambers of their imagery. That's paraphrasing. But that's what He said. You drill a hole in the wall and you look through. Oh, the temple was beautiful. But down in the bottom, there was a wicked chamber with all kinds of dirty, creeping things in the chamber. What takes place in your mind that you think about that no one ever sees? You know, it may be true that no one else ever knows about it, but God does. God always does. God knows every thought and every imagination of your heart. God knows everything. Every thought of your mind, He knows it all. There's nothing that is kept secret or hidden from God. Do you know that? What's in the chamber in your life, that place where nobody sees, nobody goes but you? What is it in the secret chamber, in the secret chamber, in the imagery of your heart and in your mind? Something that your wife never sees, or something that your parents never see, or a place where your husband never enters? A place where the pastor never goes with you? A place where the folks at work, they never see it, but God sees it. But God sees it. I mean, deep down inside, the inner chamber where you live and where nobody else ever goes. What's in that inner chamber? What's in that hiding place? What's there? You're only as good a Christian as your chamber is. You're only as good a Christian as that secret chamber inside your heart. You can sit in a church service, or you can sit before your family and try to make them think, well, I'm a pretty good boy, or I'm a pretty good child, or I'm a pretty good teenager, or I'm a good lady, or I'm a good man. But God knows the truth. God knows the secrets of our heart. He knows what left in the secret imagery of your mind and the thoughts of your mind and things where nobody else knows about. Places where nobody else ever goes. God knows that. God knows that. Drill a hole today. Drill a hole today and look into the secret chambers of your mind. Look into your heart. What do you see there? If you see pride in your heart, get it out. If you see jealousy there, if we were to drill a hole or you were to drill a hole and look into that secret chamber of your heart and of your mind, if you see some pride there, get it out. You see jealousy, get it out. If there's some hatred hidden in there, get it out. If there's some envy there or greed, get it out. If there's some anger or gossip or evil thoughts, get it out. If there's a bad attitude in there, if there's a stubbornness in there, get it out. If there's dishonesty in there, get it out. Don't let it stay there. God ought to be welcome in every part of your life. You will never know what it is to walk with God until you say, "Dear God, come into every room of my life and search it out. Come into my living room. Come into my den. Come into my family room, my bedroom, my kitchen. Come into the inner chambers of my heart and of my mind. Search them, God." Look with me at a couple of verses, if you would. Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139, and then after that we'll look at Psalm 19. First, Psalm 139 and verse 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Say, "God, I want you to have a part. I want you to be included." Truth is, God already knows, but you ought to be inviting Him to come and search. And God, cleanse me. God, forgive me. Get rid of those things, those thoughts and those things in my heart that, God, ought not to be there. Any wicked thing that ought not to be there, Lord. Look over in Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. And verse 12. Psalm 19:12 says this, "Who can understand his errors?" Then notice what he says, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults." A psalmist says to God, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults." And then verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." You know what? That's letting God look down into the part that nobody else sees. That's letting God search and examine some parts of some things in your heart and in your mind where nobody else ever visits, nobody else ever goes. You know what? Maybe when somebody visits your home or visits your family, maybe you'd prefer that they didn't go up and look in your room or look in your master bedroom or look in maybe if you have a home that has two bathrooms or something, maybe you'd prefer they just use this one because, you know, the other one you left a mess, you didn't clean it up for them when they came over. And, you know, maybe there'd be some certain rooms or certain closets, you'd rather they not go in there. We can act that way with God. "God, sorry, don't look in there, God. Oh God, please don't go up there. God, don't open that door. No, God." Hey, with God, it ought to be, "God, you can open any door. You can go in any closet. You can look in any part of my life and my heart, God. I don't want there to be anything in there that's just not right between me and you." We need to let God search and examine that way and say, "God, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Cleanse me from faults that I know, and cleanse me maybe from faults even, God, that I don't know about myself. Reveal to me those things, God, and shine the light of your word on it, and reveal to me those things that are wrong and sinful and wicked. And cleanse me and forgive me of those things." Do you want to walk with God? If you want to walk with Him, then you've got to let God in on every phase of your life. Young people, if you want to walk with God, you can have no secret places. You can't have any secret chambers. You can't have, you know, any room in your heart where you say, "I'm sorry, God, you're not welcome there. God, you can have, God, you have much of my life, but God, there's a little room in here where I'm keeping things in there. God, there's some things I don't want you to ever know about. God, there's a little part of my heart and my life and my thinking that, no, God, it's mine, it's off limits for you." He doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be letting Him be welcome in all those areas. We can't have anything in our life or any spot or any closet or any room where, God, I'm sorry, You're not welcome there. And dads and moms, if you want to walk with God, you have to say, Dear God, come into every part of my life. We're supposed to tread or walk with God the entire circle. Walk, tread the entire circle. Walk it with God. Walk with God. Walk with God. Every part of our life, we should walk it with Him. Number four, to walk with God, you have to live with Him. Live with Him. John 15 says, Abide in me. John 15:4. John 15:7 says, If ye abide in me. Abide in me. The word abide means to live, really. To live and to dwell. The word abide is the same word as used in John 14:2 when Jesus said, In my Father's house are many, many mansions. The word abide and the word mansion were the same word actually in the Greek. And our Lord was saying, You need to mansion in me. In my Father's house, He said, are many, many abodes, many, many mansions. God says, I have a mansion for you someday. I'm going to prepare a place for you. We're going to live with Him in a place eternally, aren't we? He says, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know what? Thank God there's a mansion where we get to look forward to, and we're going to get to live with Him forever and all eternity. But you know what? We're to abide in Him now. We're to be living with Him now. Walking with God, that helps us to abide in Him. Walking with God, it helps us to abide in Christ. If I can abide with Christ and abide in Christ, I may be reaching up to heaven, if you will, and bringing down that mansion down to earth, so to speak. You know, I'm getting to dwell with Him. I'm getting to live with Him. I'm getting to walk closely and spend time with Him and be with Him and live with Him. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. You know, one day we'll live with Him forever in glory, but we might as well get practiced up for it. We might as well now be walking with Him and living with Him and abiding in Christ in our lives. There's a little chorus that says, 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be if He is there. If He is there. Hey, if you're walking in with God and you're abiding in Christ, hey, that ought to be a little taste of heaven for you. Walking with God is like getting to be with God, like getting to live with God. We sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. A foretaste of what glory is going to be like if you abide in Christ and spend time with Christ. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. Thank God we can look forward to heaven. But while we're waiting to go to heaven, we can have a little bit of heaven come to us, if you will. Abide in Christ. Walk with God. Live with Him. You're not going to walk with God until you live with God. Get up in the morning living with Christ and for Christ. And all day long, live with Christ and try to abide in Christ. Try to go to bed at night living with Christ. Thinking about Christ. There's no substitute for it. We can have a little bit of heaven now, but we have to abide in Christ. We have to walk with God. To walk with God, we ought to, number five, do what He says. Do what He says. Amos 3:3 says, Can two walk together except they be agreed? It's a plain statement God makes, but think about it in relation to our walking with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? If we're walking with God, we ought to do what He says. Be willing to go where He says to go. Be willing to be what He says to be. Be willing to speak when God says you need to speak. Be willing to do what He says you need to do. Be at His beckon and at His command that what God says, you'll do it. If God tells you to go somewhere as a missionary, be willing to go somewhere. Be willing to do what God says. If God says you're going to stay here, then you stay here. You just do whatever God wants you to do. Go where He wants and do what He wants. Be willing to agree with Him when He tells you to do something. We can't truly be walking with God if we won't stay in agreement with Him. Do what He says. Do what He wants. And that will help you to truly walk with God. Number six, to walk with God. Again, if you want to walk with God, be with God and have Him be with you. Here's a good idea. Go soul winning. Go soul winning. Because you know what? He'll go with us when we go. He'll go with us. The Bible says in Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." If you do that, God will be with you. If you'll go trying to be a witness and take the gospel, God will be with you. God will be with you. To walk with God, go soul winning. Number seven, to walk with God, we need to walk according to the Bible. Walk after the Spirit, the Bible says. Walk honestly. Ephesians 2:10 tells us we're to walk in what? Good works. You know, He created us unto good works. We're to walk in love. We're to walk in truth. We're not to walk after the manner of men, the Bible says in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, not walking in craftiness. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, walk by faith, not by sight. Ephesians 4:17 says, walk not in vanity of mind. 2 Thessalonians 3:6, withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. If we want to walk with God, then we need to walk according to the Scriptures and not after the manner of men. 1 Corinthians 3:3. When you walk with God, do you know something? It'll make you a little bit peculiar. Because you know what? People that are walking with God and abiding in Christ and living for God, you're going to be different than a lot of people in this world. A lot of people in this world, they don't know God. They're not abiding in Christ. They're not walking with God. They don't know the Lord, and they're not seeking to know the Lord, and they're not walking with God. If you're walking with God in your life, you'll probably be different than some people at work. You'll probably be different than some of your own. Nah, probably you will. You will be different than a whole lot of people. You may be even different than some other people that you know that call themselves Christians. You might even be a little bit different than some people that you've known at church. Because to walk with God, you'll be doing something that many people are not doing. Some may think you're peculiar. Some may think you're strange. But you know what God said? We'd be called to be a peculiar people, didn't He? And we'll be different from many in this world. Did you know that whenever you get to the place where you really walk with God, some are going to think you're peculiar and strange. But you know what? Don't worry about it. He'll be your sufficiency. And there may be times where you want to just get away from the world and get away from everybody and get alone and say, "Oh dear God, I just want to be with You. My longing is to be with You, God, and be alone with You." And nobody will quite understand that. The world certainly wouldn't understand that. But God says, "Oh, they're right where I want them. Their desire is to just be with Me, to walk with Me and fellowship with Me and to know Me." Walk with God. Walk with God. Number eight, to walk with God, we ought to meditate on the Bible. Spend time in the Word of God. Think about the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night." To walk with God, we've got to love this book. To walk with God, we've got to love this book. In the relationship of walking with God, you know, He said at the nursing home today, yes, we pray and we talk to God, but we let God talk to us through His Word. And if it's going to be a relationship where we're walking together and we're enjoying each other, well, the communication involves prayer, but it involves the Word of God. Spending time in the Word of God, loving the Bible, loving the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God every day. To walk with God, spend time in the Word of God, meditate on the Bible, love the Bible. Don't read it because, well, I've got to read it. You know, I long for my kids to read the Bible because, oh, I get to read it. And I want to read it. I don't know what it's like, or not only they can know in their heart, but I hope they read it more than because, well, it's something I've got to do. I have to. I hope they really read it because in their heart they long to read it. They want to know God. Don't read it just because you've got to read it. Read it because you want to read it. Learn to make the truths of the Word of God your food and your strength and your bread and your water. Hide its words in your hearts so that you wouldn't sin against God. Let it be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Listen, the Word of God is a very, very precious thing. Too often we don't treat the Word of God as precious as it ought to be. It's just something that's maybe carried to church and maybe set down and maybe ignored for a while. Listen, love the Bible. Spend time in the Word of God. Read it. Meditate on it. Think on what God says. Spend time in it. If you walk with God, you're going to have to love His book. Love the Word of God. You know how much you love the book according to how much you love the author. If you walk with Him, you'll love His book. Some Christians maybe say they can't understand the Bible. What they need to learn to do is to spend time with the author of the book. Spend time walking with God. Spend time abiding in Christ. Oh, I'm not sure if I like that book. Big book. No pictures. No pictures. That is a lot of pages. Do you love the one who wrote the book? When my wife and I were dating and preparing to get married and so on and being engaged and so on, we wrote a lot of notes to each other. And then after I finished college and I was gone away and she was still there, we wrote a lot of notes back and forth. And I regularly put letters in the mail to her and she would write letters to me. And you know what? I looked forward to reading those. Why? Because I love the author. I love the one who wrote those notes. And so I wanted to read what they had to say. I look forward to reading those words. I look forward to reading those notes. Why? Because I love the one who wrote them. Listen, do you love the one who wrote this book? Do you love the one who's given us His love letters? Oh, we need to love the author and love the book. If a person will learn to walk with God, they'll come to the place where they think that the Bible is the most wonderful book they've ever read. They sing, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Oh yeah, because the psalm says there is great joy in the presence of God. There's fullness of joy in His presence. The joy we share as we tarry there. To spend time with the one who wrote this book. To spend time in the Word of God. You can come to love it. We need to walk with God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah. And it was pretty important as a daddy he walked with God. Noah walked with God. Didn't Noah live in one of the most wicked times ever? God destroyed the earth with a flood because it was such a wicked world he's living in. Can I say we're getting close to that time of God destroying the world again?
Yes, sir.
Shouldn't we walk with God? Shouldn't we walk with God? For Enoch, one day the end of the walk came. The Lord said, Enoch, we've been walking together a long time. And it's time for you to come on home. Enoch walked with God and one day was not. He no longer. God took him to heaven. Let's keep walking with God until that day that Christ calls us home. Let's learn to abide in Christ. Listen, my children and your children need to learn to walk with God. Some teenagers need to walk with God. And, you know, young adults need to walk with God. And young married couples need to walk with God. And parents of teenagers, they sure need to walk with God. But you know what? Brother Don's, they need to walk with God. And older people, they need to walk with God. Don't ever stop. Listen, realize how important it is that you abide in Christ, that you spend time in His Word, that you walk with Him. Let's keep walking with Him until that day that He calls us home. To walk with God, we need to decide to walk with God. We need to keep ourselves going forward and going in the right direction. We need to have a time and a place that we're going to walk with God each day. We need to let God come into every part of our life. God, that there's no rooms where you're not welcome. You can go in any bit of it. Every part of my life, God, You can walk with me there. You can go with me there. May God include God as every part of everything. Live with Him. Abide in Him. Always do what He says. Go sowing and know that He will go with you. Walk according to the Bible. Follow God's Word and meditate on the Bible. Spend time in the Word of God. Walk with Him. Let's walk with God as He wants us to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd convict us and challenge us tonight, Lord, from Your Word.